punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, we are in the Thursday slot. We're in the slot, J.A., out there. I know you're listening. We're in the Thursday slot with the Today in Ag show. Anyway, current weather right now is 75 degrees. Humidity 63. The winds are out of the south at 23 miles an hour with wind gust up to 28 miles an hour. That humidity is going to change here pretty quick. We are under a fire weather warning until 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Not a watch, a warning. It's going to get pretty rough out there tonight, this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow. So everybody be careful what you're doing out there on the farm. Farming season is here, baling, swathing going on. Just be careful out there, will you guys? Also, I'm wearing one of my favorite, doesn't show up on camera very well, but it's a really cool cap that Lori White gave me when her and Benji came in here, did an interview a little over a month ago. And I'm wearing it because they got 1.5 inches of rain last night. So in celebration, I'm wearing the B&L Red Angus cap today, and congratulations to everybody. They got rain. There was a shower here in Elk City. There's some water standing out there. I went out and checked caked the girls out there by the dump earlier this morning, and it settled the dust, but that's about all it did. But anyway, much needed. We'll take anything we can get right now. I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up with you. With some good news in the forecast, we do have another chance of thunderstorms, and they're supposed to be severe this afternoon and this evening, so keep an eye out on that, too. What's your weather, will you please? Let's check out the some market news here. Let me make sure this thing is updating like it's supposed to. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Looks like cattle are a little... live cattle and feeder cattle and lean hogs are all steady. Some are in the red, then down a little bit. Live cattle for April is 139.35. June, 133.57, down 1.4. August is 135.97, down 1. October is 142.65, down 0.75. Feeder cattle for April, 155.97, down 0.22. May is 157,500, up about 15.15. Lean hogs for May, 104.52. June, 111.22. July, 114. And oil is up a couple, $2-3 today. My understanding through an unidentified source that called me on the phone about an hour ago, fuel went up almost 40, diesel did anyway, almost went up 40 cents this morning. I don't know why. I'm not sure. Oil prices aren't really showing it. They've been back and forth between 96 and 105 for the last couple weeks. And why all of a sudden they go up 30, 40 cents this morning, I don't know. Probably going to blame it on the war in Ukraine if you go by the coffee shops and ask them. Let's see what the Oklahoma cash grain prices are looking like. If you guys know why the fuel went up today, text me in on the KECO text line 580-225-9697. You can text me anytime during the show if you would like. We are streaming live on Facebook, and we're streaming live on KECOFM.com. Hard red winter wheat cash in Oklahoma as of an hour ago, $10.80. Corn, $8.38. Milo, $8.06 a bushel. Soybeans at $16.20. I hadn't even checked cotton since yesterday. Let's see what cotton's looking like on the future market here. Come on, baby. There you go. Cotton is at $1.40 a pound. Anyway, up and down markets. Who knows what's going on with the crazy world we got going on. Well, let's talk about what's happening. Grain futures jumped in overnight trading on dry weather in South America and U.S. growing areas, and as Russia attacks on Ukraine persist. Soybeans were little changed. Rains in parts of Brazil in the next 15 days likely will prevent further expansion of dry areas, but stress will continue for 35 to 40% of the country's second corn crop commodity, according to the Commodity Weather Group in a report they put out this morning. In Argentina, meanwhile, recent rains were less than forecast, pushing stress to build for about half the country's growing areas. In the United States, meanwhile, some rain is expected in the Central Plains next week, but drought relief is not favored in the southwestern half of the hard red winter wheat belt. Little or no rain has fallen in much of the Southern Plains in the past 30 to 60 days, according to the maps from the National Weather Service precipitation page. I'm going to stop right there, and I have something I want to tell you that happened, and it's awesome. Kind of crazy news. Last night, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet, 1.84 inches of rain fell in Beaver, the town of Beaver. Probably the county, but we're going with the town. Over the last 24 hours, that is more than that town has seen in the previous 196 days combined. This dates back to October 13th. To 2021. How's that? That's good news for Beaver, because man, when that place up there is dry, it is dry. All right. Extremely dry weather is expected in the region at least through the weekend. In Ukraine, eastern regions of the country are under fire as Russian troops intensify their attacks, according to several media reports. The Secretary General of the United States, or the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, hope I said that right, Guterres, that's probably right there, is expected to visit Ukraine and visit the president, even as Russian troops continue their attacks. Corn futures rose 6¾ cents to $8.19 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat for May delivery jumped 13 cents to 11 and a for $11.25 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 7½ cents, and in Kansas City they're at $11.61 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery fell a half penny to $16.92 a bushel. Soy meal lost 50 cents to $440.50 a short ton, while soybean oils futures dropped 0.7 cents to 84.7 cents a pound. Well, ethanol outputs last week rebounded from an almost seven-month low, while inventories continued to decline, according to the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel averaged 963,000 barrels a day in the week that ended on April 22nd, according to the EIA. That's up from 947 barrels a week earlier, which was the lowest output level since September. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output climbed to an average of 902,000 barrels a day, up from 889,000 barrels on average the previous week. Gulf Coast production rose to an average of 25,000 barrels a day from 23,000 barrels a day a week earlier. West Coast output climbed to 9,000 barrels, which that's up from 8,000 barrels. On the East Coast, output was unchanged at 12,000 barrels a day for the fifth straight week. Rocky Mountain production was steady at 15,000 barrels a day. That's also for the fifth consecutive time they've been at that, at 15,000 barrels a day. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, continue to fall. Inventories in the week through April 22nd dropped to 23.965 million barrels a day, and that's down from 24.34 million barrels a day a week earlier, and the lowest since the 7 days that ended on January the 14th. Well, you might have guessed it already. Red flag warnings issued for most of the southern plains. Red flags warnings have been issued for most of the southern plains as dry weather will continue in the region heading into the weekend, according to the National Weather Service. In southwestern Kansas, winds Friday will be sustained 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 45 miles an hour in its report from the National Weather Service. The humidity will fall as low as 9%. In the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma, southwest winds will range from 20 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. Humidity will drop as low as 5% in our listening area. A combination of very dry air, hot temperatures, and gusty southwest winds will lead to the potential for dangerous fire weather conditions on Friday. Farther north, high wind watches for most of central Nebraska and western Kansas start Saturday morning. Winds will be sustained from 30 to 40 miles an hour with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. They can have all that they want. Damaging winds could cause damage trees and power lines. Travel could be difficult, especially in those whole high-profile vehicles. It won't be a really good day to be going down I-70 in Kansas with an empty trailer on the back. I can tell you that much. Well, when we get before we go to break, I got to say this. I said I was going to say it yesterday, and I just didn't remember, but now I will. I was talking to you guys about that $310,000 goat yesterday that I was supposed to talk about. $310,000 for a goat named I Am Legend. And you're right, he is a legend. 592 bids were bid on this guy. And that's a lot for a goat. Half semen interest with no possession. Some of the semen sold for, at the same auction, one straw. I'm telling you, one straw of semen for this goat, $40,000. One straw of semen went for $40,000. The goat deal's getting as serious as the cattle deal. Man, that's crazy. $310,000 for a goat. Anyway, so I asked the guy, was it a meat goat or what kind? He said, it's a goat. And I said, well, there's hair goats too. He said, well, my guess would be it's probably a meat goat. And because there's probably a lot of boar goat in it. So anyway, don't even know what kind of goat it is. But anyway, it's an expensive one. So you guys ever buy any goats out there for over, $50,000 in our neighborhood out here, let me know, because I want to brag on you. Anyway, so, well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Packers. As you guys know, the Packers were in Washington yesterday, so I'm going to give you a brief oversight of what happened there. Of course, you know, most of it was political, but hey, it's been going on for 2 years now about the Packers, the Big Four, making all this money, and they got them all out there under oath yesterday at the White, or not the White House, but at the Capitol, and I'll tell you a few things they talked about. Anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I guess I can't talk with a cough drop in my mouth without clattering across my teeth, so I do you guys a favor and get rid of it. 76 degrees, south winds 21 miles an hour. Wind is up, gusts are up to 30. Humidity is 61. Felt pretty good out there this morning. We are under a fire weather warning until 8 o'clock tomorrow night, for at least. Anyway, we got there's great forecast coming up after this Saturday, so don't miss my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast later on in the show. Anyway, they got 1 inch at Morewood. I had a text in on the text line. 1 inch at Morewood. That's where my mom, or not my mom, that's where my dad grew up. But my mom and dad had that old grain elevator there next to the Morewood Church, the Baptist Church there by the railroad tracks. They had a hog, turkey farm there, general store. I got a lot of family history right there. Had four brothers and sisters born right south of there on the west side of the highway where there's a set of lots now and the house is just folded up, fell to the ground back in the 30s. That's where they were born. So anyway, I got a lot of history right there in the Morewood. Thanks for texting that in to me. Well, yesterday, the Packers took a vacation and took a day off and they headed up to Washington to visit with our buddies up there in the Capitol. The chief executives of the nation's four largest meatpacking companies said on Wednesday that they were not the cause of the surging meat prices at the grocery store, which are up by 15% in a year. And they told a skeptical House Agriculture Chairman, David Scott, there was no pact to drive up profits at the expense of consumers or limit the meat supply from Americans. Scott pointed to a rise in packer margins that began in 2015 and has persisted. This can't possibly happen in a competitive market. I've studied antitrust behavior, he said, so I can tell you this is exactly the type of activity that has caused many others on both sides of the aisle to raise these questions about collusion. Packer margins are the difference between the prices paid by processors to buy cattle and the wholesale price of meat after it leaves the plant. Meat prices have soared because of surprisingly strong consumer demand, disruptions in production due to the outbreaks of COVID-19 at the packing plants, rising feed costs, and warfare in Ukraine, said the executives. We acknowledge that the rising cost of most goods, including food, poses significant challenges for consumers worldwide, said Cargill Chief Executive David McAlena. The price for meat is not immune to the global factors impacting inflation. Tim Klein of the National Beef said meat packing was a highly competitive, low-margin industry where consolidation was the natural result of sinking peak efficiency. The prices that consumers pay are determined by the retailer, not by National Beef, he said. Inflation is a significant concern across the United States, whole United States economy, said Tim Shellpepper of the JBS USA. Donnie King of Tyson Foods quoted Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, that rising demand with capacity and labor constraints are fully sufficient for what we observe in meatpacking. Scott, who took the unusual step of having the executive swear to tell the truth before testifying, asked for a yes or no answer to his question. Is there or was there ever an agreement between your four companies to cooperate together on issues impacting supply or pricing? All four of them responded no. Two of the senior Republicans on the committee said the Biden administration was trying to shift blame for inflation to the meat industry. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley was sponsor of a bill to require meat packers to buy some of their slaughter on the cash market, was in the House hearing room when the meat executives testified. Scott said senators and representatives were working on legislation to make sure our ranchers are getting equality when they market their cattle. More cash trade today will not help the producer, said Klein. Many of the cattle that are brought in a AMA, which is an alternative marketing agreement, or other agreements, are because that producer, the cattleman, wants a guaranteed home for their cattle. Proponents say AMAs pay producers a premium price for cattle that yield high-quality meat. Critics say that decades-long declines in cash markets make it difficult to know if packers are offering a fair price. AMAs are very popular in Kansas and in the Southwest. Cash sales are common in the Midwest. Well, there you go. That's just a brief outlook into what happened in big town of Washington, D.C. yesterday. And next time I get Mr. Lucas on the show, I'm going to ask him his thoughts. Earlier, a couple, two or three months ago when I interviewed him, he didn't beat around the bush, but he didn't give me a straight answer on the AMAs because there's a lot of people, I say, do AMAs around here. I know some, and I think some people do it because they want a guaranteed price, but they're also raising probably more than likely prime beef. So anyway, we'll see what happens next time I get him on, and we'll go from there. Well, when I get back, we will come to the conclusion of cattle on feed. The numbers are skyrocketing, so there's a lot going on. Just had a text in here. Cheyenne had 3.3 tenths of an inch of rain, and northwest of town, about 10 miles, they had 0.7 tenths of an inch. Heard the Yorks at Durham had an inch. Man, what a perfect spot for 1 inch of rain right where the Durham fire was. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. I got this weather to change over here, make sure it's good. I got a really, not everybody has irrigation, but there's a lot of irrigators in our listening area, and I got this article that I'm going to go over with you guys with the above or below the canopy. Let's see what you guys think. Anyway, currently 76 degrees, humidity's at 61, south winds 22 miles an hour, wind gusting up to 30 miles an hour. So it's a little breezy. Hey, while we're on here, let's check and see how windy it is in the state. Because we're in the Thursday Today in Ag slot, according to James A. We're in the slot. We are. Tomorrow is the day. I think we're just basically our listening area, except up there above the river, above Pack Saddle. Everybody's in the 30, 35 mile an hour gust. There's a big old red spot on the mezzanette. If you get on your app on your phone, you can check out what I'm looking at. It's windy. That's all there is to it. It's very windy. And then I got a big, did that goat's bloodline go all the way back to the Garden of Eden? Well, with the limited information that I got from the gentleman that runs the co-op over at Sarah, the Farmers Co-op, I don't even know what the next generation is above him. I am a legend. And so he's a legend. He's a legend in these. He's a legend. And I'm not dogging on goats, but I'm just telling you, who in the heck pays $310,000 for a goat? And, you know, at least on a beef, on cattle, you could probably recoup a lot of that money through semen sales. And I'm sure they're going to. Me not knowing how many times that you can draw the semen out of a goat, or where they even get the semen at the goat, who draws that around in our area, it's just amazing to me. I'm not dogging on the goats. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm doing here. I got some really good friends in the goat business, and some of them are in the show part. Some of them are just out there in the pasture with these mean dogs guarding them. So I'm not talking on that. I'm talking about a $310,000 goat that you're not even going to get possession of, and you only get half the semen interest to the semen. That's crazy. Sorry, it's crazy. Anyway, before I get on to my irrigation deal here, I just want to pass this along. I passed it on earlier in the week, and I want to pass it on again. I see you. It's a matter of life or death. The Western Plains Down Bikers Association is having a big event out here this Saturday at the Elk City Convention Center, April 30th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a free event, family-friendly. It's their second one. Food trucks, coloring contests, mock crash put on by Haynes Record, Elk City Fire Department, and EMS, along with Air Evac. Lots of vendors, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol Motorcycle Unit. If you've never seen anything cool, that Oklahoma City Highway Patrol Motorcycle or Oklahoma Highway Patrol Motorcycle Unit is really cool. Those guys, they're in sync. They know what they're doing. There'll be some face painting. The Western Oklahoma Alzheimer's Group selling goodies. They'll be in the North Building. And the Aerial Bound Tumbling Group will be having an event that day in the South Building. Take family out there and go check it out and support our Down Bikers Association. Support the fire department. See what they going on, how well-trained they are. So head on out there, 10 a.m. to 5 o'clock Saturday out there at the Elk City Convention Center. So my question of the day, above or below the canopy. There's always been some debate about the best height for nozzles on your pivots. And Daryl Martin, he's heard them all. Some producers have decided to reposition devices at their truss rod height back on top of the pivot pipeline due to the tall corn varieties being grown today. The University of Nebraska engineer has observed that. Others opted to place sprinklers down in the canopy to try to save water, but any comparisons between the options should always be between the best design sprinklers for the above canopy versus the in-canopy sprinkler packages for a given field in a specific location and water supply. In other words, every pivot, every type of crop dictates what's going on here. Martin shares a few considerations for comparing sprinkler packages, especially if the rotation includes corn or taller crops. The canopy may stay drier during irrigation when in-canopy sprinklers, which would reduce canopy evaporation losses, yet sprinklers can drag back in the canopy, resulting in the sprinkler spraying water vertically, not horizontally, as intended. And I can see that. Low slung sprinklers can become entangled in the canopy and are frequently stuck in one location until they dislodge following several tower movements, skipping over several feet of roll in that process, up to 6 foot in some cases, only to be repeated at the next location. Planting in a circle would help keep the devices in the canopy, but most farmers prefer straight rolls. The benefits of in-canopy sprinklers will be smaller for locations in the eastern high plains because of the higher humidity and smaller annual water requirements. The advantages will also be great for low-capacity systems because they need to run more hours each year, increasing the opportunity of net canopy evaporation and drift. In-canopy packages are more feasible on level fields where runoff due to the increased application rate caused by canopy obstruction of water jet occurs. Some dealers and farmers do not like up-top sprinkler placement with high iron water due to the straining of the pivot and possible issues with alignment linkage. In-canopy sprinklers usually come with increased cost due to the need for closer space devices, longer drops, and smaller orifices, which may require extra filtration to prevent plugging. Well water, cooler than the dew point temperatures of the air, can lead to condensation of water from the air when droplets first travel from the sprinkler device. For the same reason, in-canopy sprinklers hold the advantage if the water source provides warm water from a canal versus cool well water. Electric systems operating on a load controlled are often shut down during the highest wind and most evaporate time of the day. This point is not a disadvantage to in-canopy sprinklers, but it does lower losses for above-canopy devices. In-canopy sprinklers drop components, potentially have higher maintenance costs, and require more management to get the desired results because they are dragging through the canopy. Also, they're out of sight, making it difficult to monitor problems during the season. Now, that part I can see. It's because you never know when you're going to plug up a sprinkler jet. You just never know when one of them's going to be. But if you're doing alfalfa or some shorter crop, cotton or something like that, you can actually physically see them out there. But when you're growing corn, it's going to be crazy. Well, to wrap her up, the challenges of getting uniformity, which prevents runoff or water moving within the field, is greatly increased when sprinklers are placed in the crop canopy. Martin observes, spacing needs to be 5 foot or less at the best, but no more than 7.5 foot. Still, sprinkler packages placed in the canopy have some potential to increase the efficiency. More research is needed to fully quantify the evaporation, runoff, and deep penetration from an array of fields with varying slopes and soils. There you go. There's your irrigation thoughts of the week. Well, when I come back, I'm going to have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. There's some really good news in that forecast. I've seen more rain forecast chances in this coming 10 days than I have in the last month, I think. So anyway, hey, it's hope. It's what we want. We want hope. And it's going to rain. And I tell you, it's going to rain. I know it's going to rain because my son's crop down at Granite under the pivot, shutting the water off this morning, and we're getting ready to cut it. And every time I cut his hay down there, guess what? It rains. It's going to rain. I know it is. If they would put out there in Vegas chances, odds on this, I'd take the odds it's going to rain. So anyway, good thing. I don't know if it's going to rain up here, but I know it's going to be raining around Hobart and Granite and Longwolf when we cut that hay. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and we're in Thursday slot there, J.A.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer. Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 25th. 2,143 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 353 brought 199. 8 at 573 brought 185. 45 at 629 brought 171.50. 65 at 810 brought 155. 37 at 897 brought 141.50. 3 head of heifers at 348 brought 173. 5 at 615 brought 142. 12 at 735 brought 148.85. 8 at 807 brought 138.50. 9 at 896 brought 128. Butcher cows were 60 to 90. Butcher bulls brought 45 to 109. Pairs were 860 to 1450. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
degrees currently in Elk City. Let's go over some of the temperatures around our listening area real quick. And looks like 79 at Hobart. 77 at Hollis, 76 at Altus, 77 at Tempton, Fort Cobb coming in a whopping 75, Weatherford 76, Putnam, I'm wearing your hat, Miss Lori White, hope you're recovering from your surgery really well, 73 at Putnam, 75 at Camargo, 71 at Arnett, 76 at Canadian, Texas, and Wheeler, Texas. 76 degrees. So anyway, it's in the 70s. We're the hot spot in the state right now. Forecast. Today, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 o'clock today. Some of the storms could be severe, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with high near 86 today. South winds at 18 to 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 33. Tonight, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m. Some of those storms could be severe, so you never know. Keep an eye out on it. We have southeast winds tonight, 18 to 20, with gusts up to 30. Friday, sunny, near 93, and it's going to be hot. And it's going to be a rough day out there for fire watch. I'm just curious if the helicopters are coming to Weatherford or if they're going to go ahead and bring them on over here to Elk City. And in case we have one, I don't know. They did a really good job on the Berlin fire. Like I said, I'm not sure they did, but I bet they got there the same time the fire departments did. Friday night, clear with low around 53. West-southwest wind, 16 to 21. They're going to switch around and be coming out of the north for all day Saturday, but it's going to be breezy. 11 to 20 with gusts up to 30 miles an hour Saturday with a high near 79. Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 o'clock, high near 80. Sunday night, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 56. Monday, partly sunny, high 82. Tuesday, high near 81. And then, bam, Tuesday night, here we come. 30% chance of thunderstorms and showers, partly cloudy, low around 56. Wednesday, 50% chance of thunderstorms and showers, high near 80. There's three chances of rain in there. I mean, what more can we ask for? That's great news right there. All right, Hobart had their sale yesterday at the Hobart Stockyards. Mr. Rex Fleming, owner and operator down there. And you know his saying, we want your business, and he does appreciate it. Anyway, steers in the weighing 353 brought up to 220. Average was 214. Steers weighing 478. 174 was the low. 208 was the high. Average 179.88. 547-pounders was bringing up to $1.90. 644-pounders were bringing up to $1.66. Heifers weighing 343 up to $1.68. 448 up to $1.59. 519 up to $1.61. And cows, let's see what we got here. Slaughter cows were bringing up to 90. Slaughter bulls were bringing up to 109. And pairs were bringing up to 1575. And that was at the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. So, there you go. Just had a person text me in. He's swathing hay right now down there around Willow. Not too good is his comment. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, we got that going on tomorrow. Here I go. I've got another experiment going. Last year, as you guys are well aware, on my heifers, we synchronized 35 head of heifers, put four bulls in there. After we pulled the cedars, gave them a shot, we got 29 of them bred in a two-cycle period. But I pulled three bulls after the first go around, gave him a week, pulled three bulls, left one bull in there for the cleanup on the next one. He got that. So we were pretty good. 29 out of 35. Is it an experiment? Yes, I know. I could have left the bull in there longer and he'd probably wrapped it up with the other two, but we were the other heifers that were still open, but we wanted to see what happens. So tomorrow, round two, same cattle. They're going to be, they'll be second calf heifers, according to Mr. Potter and Mr. Frazier. Just kidding. Anyway, the cows will have their second go around tomorrow. We're going to synchronize them, give them a shot tomorrow. Give them a shot, put the cedars in, work their calves tomorrow, and then next Friday, pull the cedars, synchronize them then, and we're just going to use two bulls this time. But I only got 26 head in there this time. We pulled nine out of there. We've sold a few and took some down to my place at Willow. So we're going to see what happens. But I'm going to leave the two bulls in there with them for a full three cycles this go around. See what happens. So experiment number two coming up. And we'll be starting that tomorrow. Dr. Taylor Mouse is coming out to visit the girls tomorrow to see how they're looking and help us work them, see what's going on. Tomorrow, red flag warning. Just telling you, there's a red flag warning. The USDA is taking this bird flu deal pretty serious. They've added $263 million to bird flu cost. And they transferred it to the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service following the mid-March approval of $130 million in emergency funds. They're taking this very seriously. 7 out of every 10 birds lost to the flu this year have been egg-laying hens. 24.2 million at the latest count. Iowa, the number one egg state, was hit the hardest with 12.7 million hens already lost. Because bird flu is often spread by migrating wild birds, the USDA is urging all owners to keep their birds inside until the ongoing migration season is over. And it is full on the road. I already seen a bunch of those hawks come through headed north. And I haven't seen the butterflies come through yet. But anyway, the birds are migrating headed north. And they're the main cause, according to the USDA, of the bird flu. So there you have it. Keep your bird, keep your chickens inside. Cattle on feed has set a record again. The latest cattle on feed report was released last Friday. I'm just now having time to go over it, and reported a record high level of cattle in feedlots for any April going back to when the data series began in 1996. The March 1st total of 12.1 million head was 1.7% above what it was a year ago. Placements were the big surprise in this report. Prior to this report, the average expectation from analysts was an 8% decrease in placements compared to a year ago. The actual number came in at 0.4% decrease. Thus, the report showed many more cattle placed in feedlots than were generally expected. Cattle have continued to flow into feedlots despite the overall expectation of tightening supplies. Live and feeder cattle futures markets were $1 to $3 CWT lower in today's trading. Marketing during March of 2022 totaled 2 million head, which is 2% below placements during March of 2021. This report also included the quarterly mix of steers and heifers on feed. Of the 12.1 million head on feed, 7.54 million were steers and 4.56 million were heifers. This is a fairly large share, 37.7% of heifers on feed, and suggests heifer retention is not approaching herd expansion levels. As shown on this chart, the percentage of heifers on feed is higher than it was during the rapid expansion years. Combined with large beef cow slaughter totals, the early forecast is for 2022 to be another year of herd contraction in the United States. Pasture conditions and drought are a very important factor right now and will be the key driver in cattle production and marketing in 2022, and almost go out on a limb and say it's going to be a very big key factor next year, because a lot of, just think the whole central southern plains, central the wheat belt is in a drought right now. And I mean, I'm thinking it, I know a lot of other guys are thinking, if we don't get some rain here pretty quick, we're going to have to start doing some culling, whether it's a third of the herd, a half the herd, or all the herd. We're gonna do some serious culling. So anyway, here we go. It's going, and you know the prices are staying strong. That's what's crazy. I figured it'd drop a little bit, but there must be a big demand for American beef because we got 90 cents to a dollar for butcher cows, up to $1.25 at any given time for butcher bulls. So things are going on. Well, one of my favorite people from Stillwater, Paul Beck, Oklahoma State University Extension beef cattle nutrition, got one thing to say. Prices for DAP, urea, anhydrous ammonia, and UAN have reached an all-time high price. The cost per pound of actual nitrogen is over $1.13 a pound for urea, 32% for UAN. Last year, we were complaining about the increasing cost of fertilizer, and it was only about half what it is now. Fertilization increases water use efficiency. This may be important in drier but normal conditions, but the high price still has fertilizer out of reach for most production systems. Each pound of actual nitrogen applied will add 30 to 40 pounds of forage production per acre in Bermuda grass or Old World bluestem pastures and hay meadows. The added forage production will cost about 3 to 4 cents per pound at the current fertilizer prices. or about $60 to $80 per ton of increased hay production, or $60 to 80 pounds per ton to increase hay production per acre. For stocker steers, we can add an extra 1.5 to 2 pounds of gain for each pound of nitrogen. So the cost of that added gain would be around 0.55 cents to 0.75 cents a pound. In calf operations, a calf value to end cost ratio of 2.5 would indicate fertilizing is potentially profitable. A weaned calf will need to be bringing about 287 per pound for fertilizing to be profitable. So what should you do if you cannot afford fertilizer? You have two choices. Apply fertilizer at a target rate, or two, don't apply any fertilizer. In either case, you will need to improve management. In summary, with high fertilizer prices, we need to improve forage management, cull the cow herd to reduce stocking rates, practice weed control, and consider seedling legumes in the fall to help out next spring. Weed control increases forage production. For each pound of broadleaf weed production, we see grass production decrease by at least a pound. Controlling weeds is therefore even more important in drought and high fertilizer cost situations. There you go. Well, we're wrapping up the Thursday in the slot with the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark. You guys have a great day, and God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
Kick it into overdrive.
Cool.
This is KECO.